beloved congregation, this hour is set apart as an hour of reflection after that in this morning that holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper was administered amongst us. It is, in other words, an hour of thanksgiving. But shall it be an hour of thanksgiving, then we must have received something for our own heart and soul. There is so many people that is thanking the Lord for things that they never have received in their life. We can imagine it, but still that all spiritual gifts are lacking in our life. The hour of preparation that is always a serious one, but that is continually so also when that Holy Supper be administered and in an hour of reflection of this evening. We always have to come back to ourselves, and that is not only for those that partake the Lord's Supper, but that is also for those who remain seated. There is, in general, amongst our congregations, still a number of people that is impressed with that thought that they are uncomforted. And convinced that that sacrament by Christ is instituted for the true believers. But nevertheless, that must drive us out to the throne of grace. Every day the Lord can come in our life to take us away and to place us for his judgment seat. And then we have to answer the Lord for all that we have heard and what we have seen, but also for all things that we have neglected. I don't know here in this congregation so far, but there are churches that there is always people that stay away when it is the Lord's Supper. They say it is only for God's people, and not only that, but the church is not so quick coming out. And we stay away. We go in the evening, not in the morning. But even of that shall come back in the day of judgment. Because every time when the doors are opened of the church and the word is preached or read, there is an opportunity to be converted. And I hope, my uncomforted fellow travelers, that you are realizing it, that you are still in the day of grace. And that not only the word of God, but also the sacraments, that they have to say something to you too. And what would it be a blessing if it brought us to the right place? There is people that have something of the Lord in their heart, but they never have freedom of liberty to come to that table. There are so many voices in their heart and afraid for himself that they shall deceive their soul for eternity. I hope for all those in whose heart it is true and who are not a stranger of longing after the Lord, that the time may come that they receive freedom and liberty before that they have to go the way of all flesh. And finally, congregation, finally, there is here in this church militant never a perfect administration of the Lord's Supper. No. We shall not find that here in this world. Christ, he spoke about a kingdom, comparing it with a net full of fishes, good ones and bad ones. And so it shall be in the church visible. There shall be always people come to the Lord's Supper that never shall enter into that marriage feast in heaven to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the balance of heaven, it shall not give impression, shall have no profit, if he would say, I always go to the Lord's Supper. No. You have heard Wednesday and this morning again, we must be in the faith. We must know something of that true faith that is wrought in the heart of God's people by the Holy Spirit. And to know something what is wrought by the Lord in our heart. Even that it were sometimes, and it in some occasions in our life, but that there were moments that our soul was resting in God and resting in the mediatorial work of Christ for our own heart. It is necessary that we know something between the cradle and our grave, of which I will talk to you this evening, shall be not so long because the time is almost all gone now. On account of baptism, there's not so much time left. But I will say this evening something about a text that you find in John 21. Verse 6. John 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Thus far. It is my intention, congregation, to talk to you in the first place this evening about an empty net. In the second place, a full net. And in the third place, a net with everything. I shall repeat it for the boys and girls and children too, that they can always talk this week about it. And not only this week, but I hope that it remain with them for their whole life. An empty net, Een vol net en een net wit. Everything. You know it now, children. Very important thoughts. In the first place, an empty net. That is in regard to what I spoke to you last week. That coming to the Lord's table, that we have to come there with empty hands. You know that? But also that we know in our life how and when that our hands were made empty. This evening I have ground and reason to explain to you an empty net. Seven disciples went from Jerusalem to Galilee. That was a command of the Lord that he had given to them already before that he died in Luke 22. And on the morning of the resurrection, then that angel that told the women that they have to announce to the disciples that Christ was risen from the dead and that they have to go to Galilee and there they would see him. They have obeyed what the Lord had commanded them. After that Christ twice on the first day of the week had revealed himself to his disciples. Once without Thomas and a second time in the presence of Thomas. But now they came in Galilee and there was no Christ. There was no Christ. A disappointment. And a very great disappointment. Because after the resurrection of Christ, they never have known where Christ was to found. Never. You have a church book with all the names and with all the addresses, telephone numbers. We have a big book in our homes from all the residents of Kalamazoo. And if we would come in contact with some person, then we look to that book, into that book, to find the address, and then there is an opportunity to call him and to talk with him. But Christ never, after his resurrection, had given the disciples an address, where he tarried, or last. That was in the 3 years that Christ was here on earth, that was so much different. Because then even Judas, later on, he knew the place where Christ was in the night. Most of the time in the presence of a mountain. But now they never had known where he was. Never. Dus the only thing that was left for the disciples to wait till he came and visit them. A clear proof, congregation, that after that we know for ourselves the risen Christ, that our life become more and more dependent. So it was with the disciples too. They came there in Galilee and Christ was not there. What to think now? What to think? And then Peter, he said, I go fishing. Because he was not a man that could sit in a chair. No. His nature that was busy, restless, and another thing, those disciples were poor. They had nothing in the world. And then finally they make the decision to go fishing. They have done that for so many years. And then, of course, then they sold that fish. And then they have something to live out from it. Because we are in the world, and we have to go through the world. Peter was not a lazy person. No. Lazy person, that's awfully. Awful. Work, to work, that is our religion. We have to realize that. And we have to do everything what our hands finds to do. Therefore, Christ had never say any hard word to Peter and to the other disciples when they go fishing. No. They go fishing. And now, of course, they start to fish in the night. That was the best time that they could do it. Not in the morning or in the daytime, but at night. And then they were experienced fishers. Fishermen, they know the times, they know the places where they caught most of the fishes when they go out to do that work. They cast the net on the left side of the boat. Those boats were made so that they always cast the net on the left side. They have done that their whole life. And they were many times successful. Now, they cast that net again in the water. They pull it up, and you can realize how that all those disciples were looking when they pulled up that net out of the water. For their own imagination, maybe they have all caught a fish before that they have seen him. But what never had taken place in their life, that took place in that night. Because they have always something. And now, it seems that there was not one fish in the Sea of Galilee. Not one. But of course it was in the providence and in the love of God that all the fishes were swimming away from that net that they have cast on the left side of the ship. That was the doing of the Lord. I cannot find an other explanation. Did they stop? No. No. wie would inclined, if he had done such things once, twice, three times, that we become mad. That is our character. But they did not stop. No. They could not stop. They were busy the whole night. And every time the same thing. No fish in the net. What a disappointment. I think that Peter, he would have jumped in the water and caught the fish by himself and to bring him in the net. But of course, that was also impossible. Oh, what is man, what is man. I have in my life so many times brought that net on the right side, an empty net. Nothing. And in the realm of nature, that it happens too many times in the life of fishermen that they cast a net in the water and that instead of fishes, good fish, that there are bad ones, that they can never sell them, that they have to cast them away in the water. Sometimes there are things coming in a net. We have lived on the water when we were young, and we have seen that so many times that the people, that fishermen came with their boats in. And then, yeah, I can well mention names, but of course, I don't know how it is in English, I must stop with it. But we talk in Zealand about crabben, but you cannot sell them, no. And there are so many other things in the water that you never can bring on the market. Never. But now that net that was empty, empty, empty. Still that empty net, that was a blessing. Oh, that was a blessing for the disciples, really. Because if they have now received something in that net, even that was not a full net, oh, then there was no room for Christ. And no necessity that Christ would reveal himself. An empty net, a blessing. Because the Lord had to bring us with our own work to an end. Paul, he said in Romans 4, not those that work, but those that believe in him that saved sins. That is something else. And of course, it was all in the providence of the Lord. Because Christ, he was not only the Son of Man, but he was also the Son of God. And he knew how the disciples have labored that net. Maybe the handkerchief that was well wet from all the sweat. And then finally Christ came on the water. No. That happens well before that he died. Then he was walking on the water. Not now. Not after his resurrection. Why not? You know? You find that in Revelation 21, verse 1. And there was no more sea. For Christ there was no more sea in the state of his exaltation. He was walking on the shore there. He came to his disciples to surprise them, to gladden their heart. Did they realize that it was Christ? No. And it was a few days ago that they have seen him, that they were in his presence, that they have heard his voice. But no. Every time people, God's children that need a personal revelation of Christ to the soul. Every time. And otherwise he is a hidden person for us. Christ stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, that was an addressing that was very common in those days to one another. Children, have ye any meat? Christ did not ask them, do you have bread? No. But well, have ye any meat? Why did he not ask about bread? You know? Because he himself was the bread of life. I am the bread of life that came from heaven. Children, have ye any meat? Meat, that means here a piece of meat from one animal, or a piece of meat, a piece of a fish. And then they answered him, no. Only no. That was for their people not so easy to say that. Because they have hoped that they could say the boat is full of fish. But now they have to say no. Oh, what a disappointment. Yeah. To pray, to say, to cry, to bow our knees day and night. If I would ask that this evening that people that fear the Lord, how many times have you done it in your life? How many times? They cannot give you an answer. Because time and again they come on their knees, time and again. Yeah. Time and again. I can say something about it, but toch, maybe it is better that I say nothing. Because the pulpit is not for personal things to say to the congregation. Only I can say well something. But time and again, the Lord binds so many needs and wants upon the heart of his people and his servants, that he time and again that they have to come on the knees. Yeah. When we came here in the country in 47, and of course we had to start with English. And as you know, some of you know, I don't know yes or no, so don't. I know not onward. No. But of course, yeah. Apart from that congregation that had called me, that was English, dus. And there was almost no one that could understand Holland. 6 weeks we were here, and we had to baptize already in English, to merit in English. And then day and night, reading those forms, day and night. And then writing with a pencil above the words what I will have to explain and say it. There were many difficulties. I became sick in August. And I lay there in that hospital in Butterworth before the gates of death from Sunday to Tuesday. I don't know anything of the world. Nothing. That also the doctors thought it was the end. But the Lord brought me through it. And I have to start Sunday evening to talk, to preach, to read some sermon that he translated for me. And then one time, before that I go to that church on Arava Street, 6 times in my study room I bowed my knees 6 times. Because I could not do it. All the people that could talk English, and I was the only one that could not that language. And then to talk and to read. And we were already in that car one evening, my wife and those little children that we have in that time. And then I go back to my study room. My wife said, "You forget something?" I say nothing. But then for the 7th time, I have to bow my knees to ask that the Lord would help me. One evening. There's one thing. And in all of our life, people, there is so much. We could well talk to tomorrow if we have to bring everything at the table. And then so many times, no answer to 10, I think, the soldier. No answer give relief or solution. No answer brought relief. And still, if you ask that people, can you do it without? No. Time and again they have to bow their knees and to come in their inner shame. Congregation, if you a stranger of it, you are without spiritual life. Without spiritual life. They answered him no. They say not many words, eh? No, only no. A disappointment. Still, they were quiet under it. It was possible that they have said more, because if we have to bring out what is here inside, then you would hear something more than no. Oh, more than no, that the tongue, a world of iniquity. But then he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Still, they don't know that it was Christ. And then, of course, it was in that time already morning. The sun was coming up already. And then they were not used to cast the net in the sea. No? That was in the first place all against them. In the second place, cast the net on the right side of the ship. They never did it. And then he was a totally stranger for them that was saying that. If now I tomorrow is came by him bower, by him, yeah, carpenter, or by him baker, let I say what it took is, and I say I shall now advise you what you have to do. I think that man that will say there is the door. Because you never had used one hammer and one nail. And you don't know how that he had to bake cookies and bread. No. And you shall advise us. And still that people did it.
Yeah.
What a wonder. Cast the net on the right side. And they not say anything, they did it. Because where the word of the king is, there is dominion. There is dominion. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Oh. It seems, congregation, that all the fish that was in the Sea of Tiberias, that was surrendered to that net, and that almost now not one fish was left in that sea. They all came in the net. 153. And they're all big ones. All big ones. That happens ook never. No. If there was a fisherman this evening in my midst, as Peter, then I say, come. Come use on the pulpit and tell how that goes. And then he will say, oh, then I tell you, congregation, many times they come fishes in the net, they have not the length. Thus, and not growing up enough, thus they have to cast them back in the sea. But now, 153 big fish, and the net was not rent.
No.
Dus in the second place, a net full of fishes.
Yeah.
Full of fish. And then John, the apostle of love, his eyes were opened, and he realized the Lord Jesus Christ, recognized him. He said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And then Peter, he jumped in the water. And I think he was not swimming faster than the fish to come to Christ. You believe it too, boy? Oh, that heart, when he heard it is the Lord, that was burning of love. Oh, he had denied him thrice, and he was taken on a shelf again, already in the morning of resurrection. And a lot shall I render the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me. It was a blessing that they did not all the same thing as Peter. Because then the fish was all swimming away again. Yeah. But that other people that keep the net. Yeah. And they dragged that net to the land. Yeah. A net full of fishes. But I have no nice another point this evening. And what was my first point? First an empty net, and then a net full of fishes, and then the first point that was a net with everything. A net with everything. They came on the land, and they lay. There lay, as the text said, They saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. A fire of coals, yeah. A fire of coals. I think the same expression that is another time also in the Bible. Where? In Matthew 26, in the hall of Caiaphas, there was also a fire of coals. Yeah. Remember not the sins of my youth, sin that is bitter and that remains bitter, a fire of coals. It had to say so much to that Peter. But otherwise, you reap there the late fish thereon and bread. They have made it ready. Christ had a dinner ready there, of course. A dinner. And they receive everything. They receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, for himself. Before there was nothing else as condemnation. Because people know that the time that their life is so heavy, against thee I have sinned and done what is evil in thy holy sight. And now it was well and well that net was full of fishes and great big fishes, but they now received Christ himself. He said, come, thine. Everything was ready. That refers to his mediatorial work. As we mentioned that text in this morning, all things are ready. And that was now well great, those fishes. Oh yes, and there are many things to learn out of it. Many things. But that they receive now Christ there. In his love, in his faithfulness, in his tender mercy, in his love and kindness, as a fair of all the children of men, as the mediator and savior, as prophet, as priest, as king, and through Christ that they receive God himself, a triune God there, because the Lord had promised already the Spirit, and he was breathing upon them, and he said, receive the Spirit. And that was now confirmed at the Sea of Tiberias. Thus an empty net, a net full of fishes, and a net of everything. Because a triune God that is forever and forever. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Persecution, hunger, all things present, no. That is everything. This God is our God forever and forever. They have received there for themselves a reconciled God. No wrath. No an angry God, but a God full of love, and of love and kindness. And they were dining with him there. And then he was not so good, he said, bring now from the fishes that you have caught now. Not a month ago, but then it stinks already. It stinks. But the fishes that you have now caught. En hoe was nou de koord dat hij heeft? Koord dat vis? Dat was de Christ himself. Without me you can do nothing. And I am able to do everything through Christ that strengthened me. Congregation, tis a short word this evening. But of course, there isn't time for everything. We are still here in this land of living in the world, and time that goes on and on. And now, one question before that I close my sermon this evening. One question. Do we have knowledge, insight of an empty net? That takes place for that the net comes full of big fishes. Because otherwise there shall be no wonder. And if it is no wonder, then the Lord hath not done anything to us in our life. In Grand Traps died once an old lady, converted lady, and she said before she died sometime to people, she said, if it never in your life become a wonder that the Lord had looked upon you, she said, then the Lord had never done a wonder, if it never becomes a wonder. And congregation, that is the truth. We were privileged to preach for you this day, as we have done years and years before that. And of course I hope, and that is the wish of my heart, that the Lord gave you soon another minister. I hope so. An own shepherd and leader. I am not unwilling to help, no, but my years are climbing. And by the manifold labors that I have in my own congregation, I would glad that the Lord give you another minister, really. I hope that the older ones, but also the young ones, even the children that they bring it before the Lord, call upon me and I shall answer thee. The Lord, he is almighty to give one. And he said in his holy word, open wide thy mouth and I will satisfy thee. But what we have preached also last week and this day, I hope that it be a blessing for young and old. We are all travelers to eternity. And you have heard the warnings and admonitions out of my heart, out of the love of my heart, to the welfare of your never dying soul. For me it is maybe not so long more that we are no more in the church militant, and that we have up to stand before that judge to give an account what we have preached. And what would a terrible congregation, what would it be terrible if also here out of the congregation people would say in that day of judgment, you are not free of our blood. What would that be terrible? And the gifts and talents are different. One minister have more than the other and different than the other. But the main thing is that we have preached Christ Jesus and him crucified. And a triune God placed before you, and the necessity to know him for our own heart, for the great and ever-ending eternity. And those that were not in the right way here, I hope the Lord uncover them. And those that came in truth and uprightness, that the Lord give his divine approval in this coming night, and in the week that lay before us, and that he show mercy to the congregation, to our children and grandchildren, preparing us to meet him in righteousness and in peace. Amen. Lord, bless the preaching of thy word in this Sabbath day and the administering of the holy sacraments. Forgive all that was amiss and all the shortcomings. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood. And remember us further with the congregation. Give him a shepherd and a leader in their midst for many years. 'Tis all in thy hand, Lord, and send forth laborers in thy harvest. Bring us back tomorrow to our own congregation, and strengthen and sustain the consistently here in this place. And remember all the needs and all the wants, ook in the families which are so great and manifold. Forgive all that was wrong, and bless us with the blessings of thy covenant, and give us thy fear in our heart, that thy name never be blasphemed on account of our conduct, but that our life be in the fear of the Lord. Remember us together for thy great name's sake. Amen. We sing now 381, and then the collection will be taken. 381. I cry to thee, and thou didst save. Thy word of grace new courage gave. Number 381, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.